two pale fish trapped in the dark eddies of her face. In a patois of Quichua and a nearly vanished language, Zapara, she scolded her nieces and granddaughters. An hour past dawn, they and everyone in the village, except Anna Maria, were already drunk. The occasion was a minga, the Amazonian equivalent of a barn raising. 40 barefoot Zapara Indians, several in face paint, sat jammed in a circle on log benches. To prime the men for going out to slash and burn the forest to clear a new cassava patch for Anna Maria's brother, they were drinking chicha, gallons of it. Even the children slurped ceramic bowls full of the milky, sour beer, brewed from cassava pulp, fermented with the saliva of Zapara women who chew wads of it all day. Two girls with grass braided in their hair passed among the throng, refilling chicha bowls and serving dishes of catfish gruel. To the elders and guests, they offered hunks of boiled meat, dark as chocolate. But Anna Maria Santi, the oldest person present, wasn't having any. Although the rest of the human race was already hurtling into a new millennium, the Zapara had barely entered the Stone Age. Like the spider monkeys, from whom they believed themselves descended, the Zapara essentially still inhabit trees, lashing palm trunks together with bejuco vines to support roofs woven of palm fronds. Until cassava arrived, palm hearts were their main vegetable. For protein, they netted fish and hunted tapirs, peccaries, wood quail, and curassows with bamboo darts and blowguns. They still do, but there is little game left. When Anna Maria's grandparents were young, she says, the forest easily fed them, even though the Zapara were then one of the largest tribes of the Amazon, with some 200,000 members living in villages along all the neighboring rivers. Then something happened far away, and nothing in their world, or anybody's, was ever the same. What happened was that Henry Ford figured out how to mass-produce automobiles. The demand for inflatable tubes and tires soon found ambitious Europeans heading up every navigable Amazonian stream, claiming land with rubber trees, and seizing laborers to tap them. In Ecuador, they were aided by Highland Quichua Indians, evangelized earlier by Spanish missionaries, and happy to help chain the heathen lowland Zapara men to trees and work them until they fell. Zapara women and girls taken as breeders or sex slaves were raped to death. By the 1920s, rubber plantations in Southeast Asia had undermined the market for wild South American latex. The few hundred Zapara who had managed to hide during the rubber genocide stayed hidden. Some posed as Quichua, living among the enemies who now occupied their lands. Others escaped into Peru. Ecuador's Zapara were officially considered extinct. Then, in 1999, after Peru and Ecuador resolved a long border dispute, a Peruvian Zapara shaman was found walking in the Ecuadorian jungle. He had come, he said, to finally meet his relatives. The rediscovered Ecuadorian Zapara became an anthropological cause célèbre. The government recognized their territorial rights, albeit to only a shred of their ancestral land, and UNESCO bestowed a grant to revive their culture and save their language. By then, only 4 members of the tribe still spoke it, Anna Maria Santi among them. The forest they once knew was mostly gone. From the occupying Quichua, they had learned to fell trees with steel machetes and burn the stumps to plant cassava. After a single harvest, each plot had to be fallowed for years. In every direction, the towering forest canopy had been replaced by spindly second-growth shoots of laurel, magnolia, and copa palm. Cassava was now their mainstay, consumed all day in the form of chicha. The Zapara had survived into the 21st century, but they had entered it tipsy and stayed that way. They still hunted, but men now walked for days without finding tapirs or even quail. They had resorted to shooting spider monkeys, whose flesh was formerly taboo. Again, Anna Maria pushed away the bowl proffered by her granddaughters, which contained chocolate-colored meat with a tiny thumbless paw jutting over its side. She raised her knotted chin toward the rejected boiled monkey. "When we're down to eating our ancestors," she asked,